This is the Does God Exist Quarterly Journal for the second quarter of 2021. John Clayton is your reader. Our second quarter journal has a picture of John Cooper and some pictures that he has included in our new DVD series, which is titled Beyond Reasonable Doubt, designed to show people that the Bible is in fact the Word of God and that all of the evidence supports the biblical record. And our lead article is by John Cooper on the subject of Beyond Reasonable Doubt. John says, "Thank you for your interest in the most important of human endeavors, finding faith in God. It is with much excitement and hope that we announced a new video series titled Beyond Reasonable Doubt. John Clayton has asked me to put together this series on evidence for the reliability and inspiration of the Bible. As a natural and essential extension of that, I include the ultimate reason for Scripture, the revelation of salvation through Jesus of Nazareth as predicted and fulfilled in the pages of the Bible. Paul said to Timothy, 'From infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus.'" 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15. Apostle Peter wrote, "But in your heart set apart Christ as Lord, always prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. The phrase "give an answer" is from the Greek word apologia, from which we get the term Christian apologetics. Some versions translate this phrase as "give a defense." And so this video series, Beyond Reasonable Doubt, is an attempt to give a defense with gentleness and respect for the Christian faith to all who may ask us why we believe. Be it known that I had to leave out many things due to time, space, and audience attention span. We hope that this series will be the beginning point and the catalyst for deeper digging into the field of archaeology in the Bible. There seems to be some confusion about the very definition of biblical faith. If you were to look in a dictionary, you would find that it defines faith as belief without reasons or evidence. However, in Scripture, faith is based on solid facts, reasons, and evidence. We find a biblical definition of faith in Hebrews 1 and verse 1. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Faith is based on reality and evidences of reality. On Pentecost, Peter proclaimed to the people, quote, "Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him. As you yourselves know, God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact." Acts 2, verses 22 and verse 32. In Athens, Paul spoke about a day of judgment and said, quote, "God has given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead." Acts 17 and verse 31. So in the New Testament, faith is found on evidence, facts, and proof. Biblical archaeology is one way of gaining evidence of and information about people, places, and events mentioned in the Bible. Thus, it can increase our faith by acquainting us with evidence from the past that supports the historicity, authenticity, and reliability of the Bible. The information gleaned from these archaeological digs can also help us give an answer to everyone who asks of the reason for the hope that we have. We want to define the purpose for this study more clearly. This study is not just to find facts, but also to find the meaning and relevance of those facts. I believe that every human being has at least four needs to make their lives fulfilling and meaningful. A scripture familiar to many of us is John 3:16. It contains these four necessities. "For God so loved the world," we all need love, "that he gave his only begotten Son," we all need to be valued, "that whosoever believes on him should not perish," we all need forgiveness, "but have everlasting life," We all need hope. Therefore, our goal in this series is to help all who will look at the evidence openly and honestly, to know beyond reasonable doubt that the Bible is reliable and trustworthy. We want people to find faith in God through His Word, and from that faith in Jesus of Nazareth to find love, value, forgiveness, and hope. What do you believe about the Bible? We live in an age of extreme doubt. The political circus going on in Washington, D.C. is destructive in many ways. It challenges our confidence in our leaders. It makes us realize that honesty and dedicated servitude are even rarer than we thought. It may even cause us to question some of our beliefs about institutions. Associated with that is the growing doubt about God's existence and the credibility of the Bible. For many senior citizens, belief in God and the Bible as His Word was an inherited faith. I was a rebel back in the 1950s because I was an atheist. When I challenged people to tell me why they believed in God and accepted the Bible as His Word, I usually got a shrug, at best, or a shove at worst. Those were questions you didn't ask. Some of my peers went to church, but their lives didn't show that they saw any value in what the Bible said about how we should live. Same things were true in the time of Jesus Christ. The Pharisees that Jesus disputed and condemned were students of the Hebrew Bible. They spent much time studying and teaching the Scriptures and could quote them. The Jews were not ignorant of the Scriptures and what they said, but they simply could not apply it to their lives. Religion was a vehicle of expediency to promote social structure and to provide a platform for power struggles. Things haven't changed much. As an atheist, I had no difficulty pointing out the hypocrisy of organized religion. Preachers could quote Scripture just like the Pharisees did. Just as the Pharisees engaged in power struggles and compromised their morality, many modern preachers make the headlines for the very same thing. So do we really believe the Bible is the Word of God? The scientific evidence is very strong that there is, quote, something out there that orchestrated creation. We can even demonstrate some characteristics of that something. But why should I believe that the Bible is the word of that something? In addition to our personal doubts, so-called scholars bombard us with charges that the Bible is full of contradictions and mistakes. We don't know enough to check out their claims, but we tend to accept anything that relieves us of responsibility for how we should live our lives. My training is in physics, chemistry, and geology. I never took a course in ancient history in high school or college. I had one history class as a sophomore in high school that was very superficial and very secular. I know enough not to get involved in trying to prove or disprove the integrity of the Bible. I have listened to atheist professors. I have seen the attacks on the Bible in the media and have read books by skilled writers who don't believe in God. Rarely have I checked out the claims of these authors, nor have I visited the Holy Land. I became a Christian because I saw the futility and frustration of the atheistic way of life and the wisdom and beauty of the teachings of Christ. I wanted answers to the attacks of atheists and skeptics. I saw the work of John Cooper, which he presented in a way that I could understand. I knew people who claimed the Bible was a bunch of myths with no academic support were wrong. John Cooper's teaching gave me a much better understanding of why I believe what I believe. He has had significant experience in traveling in the Holy Land and visiting a vast number of archaeological sites. He has listened to and answered challenges from opponents of Christianity in the United States, Russia, and the Middle East. I urge you to study this series. You can watch it free of charge on our discgodexists.tv website. You can get it on its own loan at our cost, or you can purchase it online at www.powervine.store. And there is a study guide, by the way, available for personal use or group discussions. We hope that this series will be valuable as an educational tool, so we will all know more fully why we believe what we believe. The scientific cosmological proof of God's creation. There is a massive amount of evidence available for the existence of God. One of the clearest evidences is the creation itself, the cosmos. By that we mean outer space and everything that is in it. Carl Sagan was fond of saying, quote, "The cosmos is all there is or ever was or ever will be," end of quote. With the discovery science has made since Sagan's death, it has become increasingly apparent that Sagan's statement is not true. We know that there is much in the cosmos that is secondary to the cosmos, and that the creation itself was prefaced by a whole history of changes in things we cannot see. Everything is waves. Our modern understanding of the cosmos is that everything is made of waves. That means that even mass has the properties of waves, frequency, wavelength, and energy, related by simple equations. Energy is equal to the frequency of vibration times a value known as Planck's constant. We can also relate energy to wavelength by the fact that frequency times wavelength is equal to velocity. When dealing with creation, that velocity is the speed of light. So energy equals Planck's constant times the speed of light divided by the wavelength. Since energy equals mass times the speed of light squared from Einstein, it will be equal to Planck's constant divided by the speed of light times the wavelength. The wavelength of matter is simply so long, it cannot be detected. So what's the point? So what is the point of all that? It is just elementary algebra based upon a now proven fact that everything is made up of waves. All scientific observations confirm that there was a beginning to everything we see and experience. This beginning was initiated by total energy. Frederick Hoyle called this the, quote, Big Bang. That term stuck because no scientist could deny that massive energy produced quanta, which are the bundles of energy that have a frequency. Light has a frequency, and as it moves, it has a finite speed and a wavelength determined by its energy. To have energy, there must be frequency, since Planck's equation is E equals HF, H being Planck's constant and F being the frequency. Frequency is cycles per second, so time would come into existence as soon as energy produced frequency. Time did not exist before the release of energy. In science, there is now a consensus that the energy came from other dimensions, that time itself is a fourth dimensional, not a three-dimensional physical quantity. Where's the evidence? The evidence for all of this has produced countless scientific papers and several Nobel Prizes. Even the work that showed that radiation is still coming to us through the cosmos resulted in a Nobel Prize awarded to Arno Penzias and Robert Wilson in 1978. They discovered that cosmic microwave radiation, the background radiation, from the original Big Bang is universally distributed throughout space. For a very long time, scientists have known that the cosmos is expanding from a single point of origin. We can't observe the Big Bang now. But since time and space came into existence simultaneously, we can see the entire expanse of space and time. So what is the energy source? With all of this evidence, it leads to another question. What is the source of the energy? If the cause of creation was outside of space and time, one of the choices is that a mindless, undirected cause did the creating based on chance. We have only discussed the creation of mass so far. An equally interesting factor is the creation of electric charge. Most of us have heard the term quark in physics class. There are six kinds of quarks, and quarks combine to make up hadrons, with protons and neutrons being the most familiar. Quarks make up electric charge, and they are made of point particles called prions, which do not have any size at all. Realize that all of what we have described is designed to produce physical matter, which is the starting point of what Dr. Sagan saw and described. What we see in our telescopes and microscope has been produced by things we cannot see, and that don't take up any space, and they reveal themselves through waves. So what's the nature of the cause? The last question in this cosmological understanding is the nature of the cause. On the surface, it might seem, there are two choices. Number one, the cause was blind, mechanistic chance, with no intelligence, no purpose, and no source. The second choice is the cause was an intelligence that built our cosmos by design and, for a reason, carefully integrating the elements into a physical cause. You can't just throw a bunch of energy out there and expect the result to be physical matter. The nature of physical matter is such that it tends to become disordered with time. The measure of this disorder is called entropy, and it can be calculated. If energy were simply thrown out there, entropy would take over and the cosmos would not exist. Entropy confirms that the creation began at a precise point, but the order built into matter demonstrates design and intelligence. We see design everywhere we look in the creation. We see it not only in astronomical examples, but even within the substrates of matter. Life is the most fantastic example of design. The countless examples of life's unique ability to fit into virtually any physical system on Earth demonstrates its origin. A scientist has said, quote, that creation must have known we were coming. Our modern understanding and observations have confirmed the validity of the simple statement, quote, in the beginning God created the Shaheen and the earth. Your King James Bible, Shaheen, is translated as heaven. The more general meaning of that word is the cosmos. The physical creation screams that God is its creator. Extremism. Today we are seeing political extremism in the United States. That has been going worldwide for a long time. But now we see it in our own country. Those who take extreme positions in politics, education, and religion are guided mainly by ignorance. Those of us with a background in science continue to be appalled at the statements of politicians who repeatedly demonstrate they do not understand the most basic facts of biology and medical science. The Does God Exist ministry has been dedicated to education because most religious conflicts and division are rooted in ignorance. This is an old problem. Acts 14, 8 through 13 gives an account of Paul and Barnabas bringing relief to a crippled man. The bystanders who witnessed this amazing recovery immediately attributed it to Zeus and Hermes, and decided that Paul was Hermes and Barnabas was Zeus, with the notion that simple humans could do great things was beyond the crowd's comprehension. Some people rejected Jesus because he came from a humble background, didn't have an elaborate physical structure to operate from, and spent time working with the common people. The general public wants a flashy, extreme solution to their problems with elaborate rituals. Nothing has changed. People today still want leaders who are flashy, live in opulent surroundings, and offer entertaining messages. We have over 200 different denominational groups because people want someone to entertain them with something dazzling and unconventional. Here are some specific examples of this that we should consider. We want flashy actions from the Holy Spirit. Acts 2, verses 38 and 39 promised that those who became Christians would have, quote, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, 9 tells us that this means we are not controlled by sin, but by God's Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 3, 16, we learn that we are the dwelling place of God's Spirit. For many people, that is just too simple. They want a spirit that overpowers and makes us do extreme physical things, including trances, tongue-speaking, prophesying, and casting out demons. Paul warns us in 1 Thessalonians, quote, don't put out the Spirit's fire, end of quote. The Spirit covers for us in our prayers, Romans 8, 26 and 28. Galatians 5, verses 22 to 23 tells us that he gives us the ability to be patient. In 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 7, we learn that the Holy Spirit gives us the power to be cheerful givers. Numerous passages tell us that the Spirit helps us resist temptation. But we tend to overreact to negativism. The fact is that the gospel is good news, not a bunch of condemnations and thou shalt nots. Over and over, the Bible tells us that the gospel is positive, joyous. Read Ephesians 1:3 and Galatians 5:1 and 5:22, remembering that among the fruits of the Spirit are joy and peace. We also tend to overemphasize traditions. In Matthew 15, verses 3 through 9, Jesus addressed people who were hung up on traditions, saying, quote, "You nullify the word of God for sake of your traditions," end of quote. Colossians 2:8 warns Christians about, quote, "philosophy that depends on human tradition," end of quote. We in the 21st century are loaded down with tradition. We think we have to have a building to be the church, and yet there is no command or biblical example of the church having a building. We have a tradition of singing four-part harmony using the diatonic scale, even though the biblical models were mostly chants of the Psalms. We have added musical instruments to make our worship more entertaining, even though the biblical church does not appear to have used instruments. We have a tradition of having a preacher with a religious title who tells entertaining monologues, even though we have no command to do so. The list of things we do by tradition is almost endless. Some of these traditions might be helpful, but others have been divisive and a waste of resources. What does God want? In 1 Corinthians 9, verses 19 through 27, we see what God desires of those who claim to be Christians. Be a servant to all men, verse 19. Put ourselves in the place of others, verses 20 through 22. Be temperate in all things, verse 25. Show purpose in our lives, verse 26. Exert self-control, verse 27. Remember that we can still be drawn away by Satan, verse 27. I beg you to consider these things. You can choose to be extreme in how you work, what habits you have, how negative you are, and what view you give those who see you in your life. Show instead how you love peace, how you love everyone, and that you have Christian joy. Doing that means your life will bear incredible fruits. And remember the words of Jesus, Matthew 7, starting with verse 16. He said, "You'll recognize and bear the fruit. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs gathered from thistles? In the same way, every good tree produces good fruit, but a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, neither can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that doesn't produce good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." So you'll recognize them by their fruit. Science in God. This is a regular part of our quarterly journal in which we respond to atheists' attempt to suggest that scientists are intelligent people who have rejected faith and don't believe in God. The fact is that some of the most productive scientists who have ever lived were believers in God. We share some of their thoughts with you in this column. And our scientist for this time is Everett Koop, who is an Indiana kid. He was also the United States Surgeon General from 1982 to 1989 and a professor of pediatric surgery. Dr. Koop said, "If I didn't believe I had a God who was solid and dependable, a God who makes no mistakes, I couldn't continue what I am doing. I need that certainty to assure me that what I am doing is the right thing, and I need it in my day-to-day existence with all the problems that I personally face. I would have a great deal of trouble with them if I didn't have complete faith in Jesus Christ. I think that the hallmark of my existence is the integration of my surgical life with my Christian faith. The fact that God is in control of this universe, as fallen as culture and civilizations are, gives me reason to go on. I never operate with having a subconscious feeling that there is no way this extraordinary complicated mechanism known as the human body just happened to come up from slime and ooze somewhere. When I make an incision with my scalpel, I see organs of such intricacy that there simply hasn't been enough time for natural evolutionary processes to have developed them. Another thing I would say is that the various abilities that I think I have been surgery or decision-making processes are gifts from God. In the long run, I hold these in stewardship, and I am responsible to Him for the way I use them. For that reason, I try to integrate what I do in my professional life with what I believe in my Christian life, so that I don't live these two parts of my life in separate compartments. Cynthia's Corner by Cynthia Clayton. We have discussed the credibility and inspiration of the Bible many times, and now we have a new video series by John Cooper dealing with the archaeological and historical proof of the Bible's inspiration. As a non-scholar and simply a Bible reader and believer, I base my life on the truth and inspiration of God's Word. The question is, how have I come to this faith? First of all, without faith, we cannot please God. His Word says, quote, "Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see," Hebrews 11:1-6. Because He wants us to have faith, God gives us plenty of reasons to believe in Him, His Word, and His Son. To prove He was God's Son, Jesus did many miracles that could only be done by the power of God. The lame walked, the blind saw, the deaf heard, the dumb speak, and even the weather obeyed Him. God proved Jesus was His Son by raising Him from the dead on the third day. After His resurrection, Jesus walked among the living for 40 days, and then physically ascended to heaven, Acts 1:3-9. After Jesus went to heaven, His apostles and other chosen men were given God's words and wrote the New Testament by inspiration of God's Holy Spirit, Galatians 1:11-12, and 1 Thessalonians 2:13, and 2 Timothy 3:16. To prove their words were true and that they were speaking for God, they too were given the power to perform miracles as Jesus did. John 20:30-31, Acts 2:22-14, and Galatians 3:5. When the apostles had died and the New Testament had been completed, the miracles ceased because they had served their purpose. They testified to Jesus as God's Son and the apostles as His chosen men to establish His church on earth. God chose men to write the Old Testament, and He spoke directly to them, including Moses and the prophets. God also did miracles in the Old Testament times to prove His existence and sovereignty. Does God Exist was founded on the belief that faith in God and science are compatible, since science is what we have learned about how God created the universe and our planet. Dandy Designs gives almost endless examples of God's created designs and the reasons for them. Romans 1:19-20 says that we have no excuse for disbelief because, quote, "What may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made." So men are without excuse. Dandy Designs, eating in self-defense. This grasshopper can't fly. He can barely jump. The western horse lubber grasshopper protects itself by eating. Western horse lubber grasshoppers live in the arid Sonoran area of the southwestern United States and in Mexico. They are larger than the average grasshopper. Despite being a large morsel, they can sit on a bush in the desert and relax, knowing that predators will leave them alone. Their defense is that they eat toxic plants, which give them a nasty taste for any animal foolish enough to eat them. To warn a potential predator that it doesn't taste good, horse lubber grasshoppers have distinctive colors, with a shiny black body and a yellow trim. Besides a warning to predators, the black body also provides thermoregulation. On cold days, the black color absorbs heat, which speeds the metabolism of the insect. Without this thermoregulation, the grasshopper would not survive in the northern portion of its range. It orients and positions its body to maximize sun exposure in the cool of the day and then find shade during the day's heat. Horse-lover grasshoppers also produce a warning odor that's made from chemicals derived from the plants they eat. If a mouse threatens a grasshopper, it sprays the foul-smelling chemical and makes a hissing sound. It may also expose its bright hind wings and wave its legs and antenna. A predator who is not smart enough to back off but eats a grasshopper will instead become sick or possibly die. There is a fantastic variety of defense mechanisms used by millions of creatures God has designed. Eyes, unusual characteristics, and other dandy designs. Scientists use animal classification systems based on old evolutionary assumptions. The result is that many times an animal doesn't fit any evolutionary model. Excellent example of this is a species of long-fingered nocturnal lemurs found only in Madagascar called eyes. Eyes have many unusual characteristics, giving them the name that comes from the local phrase meaning something like, quote, I don't know. And here are a few of the eyes' traits. Number one, they have large round eyes, which aid in night vision. Number two, they use their continually growing incisor teeth to tear holes in trees to reach grubs. Their teeth are so strong, they can chew through cement blocks. Number three, their long middle finger is skeletal and has a ball and socket joint used to hook onto wood-boring grubs. Number four, their big toe is opposable to enable them to hang from tree branches. Number five, they have fur with guard hairs that they can raise to appear double their size. Number six, they use a unique system of foraging by percussive tapping on wood. They sense the echo with their bat-like ears to detect hollow areas where grubs are. Number seven, they build elaborate spherical nest made of leaves and branches. Because of their teeth, nesting behavior, and long tail, your first guess might be that they are rodents. Despite the face of a possum, the teeth of a mouse, and the ear of a bat, they are classified as primates. This name is so unusual it has its own taxonomic family. Eyes have many unusual characteristics that point out weaknesses in the evolutionary taxonomic system. From an apologetic standpoint, it seems clear that God has created a variety of animals and given them characteristics to fill ecological niches. Eyes seem to be a special creation for a unique environment. News and notes. Apathy and dementia. Because we are living longer, the incidence of dementia has also increased. One form is frontotemporal dementia, which hits most of its victims between the ages of 45 and 65. There is a gene for frontotemporal dementia, but having the gene does not mean the person is doomed to have the disease. Keeping your body and brain active may play a role in whether the gene will be expressed. Apathy may lead to dementia. Researchers at Cambridge University have discovered that there is a correlation between apathy and frontotemporal dementia. Their studies show that people who are lazy, in depression, or who have lost interest in life become apathetic toward their daily activities and are potential victims of frontotemporal dementia. God never intended for people to be inert, passively watching television instead of getting involved in activities. Social interaction or reading can make a difference in whether our gene for frontotemporal dementia will be expressed. A person's role in church activity may also be a factor in frontotemporal dementia. You can retire from your secular employment, but don't retire from God. Apathy may lead to dementia, but staying active supports mental health and freedom from frontotemporal dementia. K2-141b is not another Earth. The media has suggested the planet called K2-141b may be inhabited. It's a little under 200 light years away. And though it has some similarities, this planet is not another Earth. Astronomers have discovered that its atmosphere has all the elemental components of rocks. That has to mean that the planet's surface temperature is hot enough to vaporize rocks, which would be more than 5,400 degrees Fahrenheit. Without the variables that keep our planet cool, we could not have a surface temperature of less than 212 degrees Fahrenheit. The size, temperature, and activity of the sun have to be just right. The amount of ocean surface that reflects solar heat back into space is crucial. The factors that restrict greenhouse gases, the relatively low value of volcanic activity, the lack of exothermic chemical reactions, the reflectivity of clouds, and many other factors influence our temperature. Evidence shows that planets with conditions that permit surface temperatures between 0 and 100 degrees Celsius allowing liquid water are rare. If God has created life elsewhere on a planet where life can exist over the long haul, it will be another demonstration of incredible wisdom and design. Our planet is exceptional, and taking care of it should be a high priority for us. What color is your river? In our 12 trips down the Colorado River through the Grand Canyon, I saw changes in the water from time to time. The river was sometimes brown and at other times crystal blue, depending on how much upstream water was being released from the Glen Canyon Dam. I now live by the St. Joseph River in southern Michigan. I have read the notes of the first explorers who came through this area, in which they tell of being able to see the bottom of the river through 20 feet of water. Now you can only see about a foot down. America's rivers have changed through the years. In 1984, satellites started taking pictures of rivers in the United States. Over 230,000 images have been analyzed by the University of Pittsburgh, the University of North Carolina, and Duke University. The data shows that only 5% of America's rivers are still blue. 28% are green, which in most cases is caused by algae, and the remainder are yellow. As rivers change from blue to yellow to green, what can live in the rivers also changes. In the St. Joseph River, the kinds of fish that live in the river today are far different from what native trout were seen by early settlers in this area. Today, the river has large numbers of suckers and carp. There are some bass and panfish, and we do have salmon from Lake Michigan migrating up the river to spawn. What color is your river? The more important question is, what is causing rivers to change color? The causes, according to the studies, are farm fertilizer, runoff, dams, sewage, and global warming. This is more than the loss of the recreational value of the waterways. Numerous diseases, including cancer, are related to what is in the water we drink, bathe in, and provide to our animals. Christians must be vocal in encouraging our culture to initiate significant efforts to turn our waters blue again. Earth rock found on the moon. Frequently, science clarifies biblical statements, but no scientific facts have ever contradicted the biblical account. Contradiction would be impossible, since the God who created and made the earth also gave us the Bible. A recent example of their agreement is demonstrated by an earth rock found on the moon. The simple clarity of the Genesis account contrasts with literally thousands of scientific papers and books giving details of the biblical statement, quote, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth," end of quote, Genesis 1:1. Another interesting passage in Genesis is the second verse, when it indicates a change in the earth. The most accurate translation of this verse is, "And the earth became without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep," end of quote. The National Aeronautics and Space Administration's daily blog announced the results of an internal X-ray scan of lunar sample 4321. Alan Shepard picked up that rock during the Apollo 14 lunar mission. It shows chemistry identical to Earth's materials and completely different from lunar material. NASA says the sample is older than the Earth's surface materials and indicates a dramatic event. The celestial object, like an asteroid or a comet, may have hit our planet and blasted material into space, with some of it landing on the moon. The scientific information simply demonstrates the accuracy of the brief biblical statement. Science and the Bible are symbiotic. each beneficial to the other, and in agreement with each other. However, they explain different aspects of human concern. The moon opens the Suez Canal. The moon does many things that affect life on Earth. Sometimes its power can help in ways we never considered, such as opening the Suez Canal. For a week in March, we saw news reports about a giant ship blocking that canal that carries much of the world's shipping. The offending vessel is one of the world's largest container ships. It got stuck on the sand and turned sideways to block the entire channel. Tugboats and dredging vehicles worked to dislodge it, but they were toy boats by comparison. You could think of a child with a toy shovel and a sand bucket trying to free a beached whale and push it back into the ocean. Experts said it could take many weeks to free the vessel. Then in March, full moon arrived and helped to free the ship. The moon does many things to support life on Earth. Its light helps nocturnal animals and sometimes humans to find their way. The moon's gravity stabilizes the Earth's tilt, which gives the seasons. The gravity also causes tides that clean the ocean shores and estuaries. The tides and moonlight play an essential role in the production of sea turtles and many crustaceans. The tides even help free stuck ships. On March 29th, the container ship Ever Given became dislodged, opening the Suez Canal. The moon's gravity raised the water level to lift it enough so the tugboats could move it. Tides are highest during full moon. At that time, the sun and the moon are on opposite sides of the Earth. Their gravity pulls on water, raising the tides. In this case, that force was enough to free the ship, which is the size of the Empire State Building, from being stuck in the mud, and opened the Suez Canal. We never start marveling at the powerful forces in God's creation. Falling birth rates. Falling birth rates worldwide are impacting the economy of virtually every country in the world. In the United States, Social Security and Medicare depend upon having young workers paying into the fund to cover the benefits received by retirees. In 1980, roughly 5 workers were supporting and providing taxes to support each retired beneficiary. By 2019, that number had dropped to 2.8 workers. Countries have responded by paying citizens to have more children. Hungary is spending 5% of its GDP on free fertility treatments for women under 40. That country is also giving upfront loans to newlyweds so they can write off each child born. It even offers a lifetime exclusion from income tax for mothers with 3 or more children. Poland is giving $140 per child per month. Russia is providing parents with 2 or more children with a one-time payment of $8,100. South Korea has spent $130 billion on similar programs. In the United States, the government is now giving payments to families based on the number of children they have. For years, Alaska has been sharing oil revenues with families based on the number of children. Children are a blessing from God, but people who deal with disturbed children fear that some families may not be prepared for care for more children properly. Perhaps it is time for government to find a new and more creative way to meet their economic issues. Want a new body? A new study by the Weizmann Institute of Science in Rafal, Israel, gives surprising information about how rapidly a human body generates new cells. Different parts of your body turn over new cells at different rates. Fat and muscle make up 72% of our bodies by mass. Those cells last an average of 12 to 50 years. By number, there are far more cells in our blood. They only last 3 to 120 days. The cells lining our gut live less than a week. Every day, your body replaces 330 billion cells, which is about 1% of the total. That means that in 80 to 100 days, your body will replace 30 trillion cells. That is approximately the total number of cells in your body. So you want a new body? But don't forget, the larger fat and muscle cells will last for years, while the smaller cells get replaced. Some cells last a lifetime, including your brain, your heart, and your eye cells. A report like this can help us understand how complex the human body is. We are reminded of the words of the psalmist in Psalms 130, verse 14, "I will praise you, Lord, because I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Vaping disease. States across the United States are rapidly approving the recreational use of marijuana, but scientific evidence suggests this is a dangerous development. Very little research has been done on marijuana vaping, but available evidence shows that vaping weed is at least as bad as smoking cigarettes. The United States Centers for Disease Control and Prevention have identified a new disease called EVALI, E-V-A-L-I, that is short for e-vaping-associated lung injury. An apparent culprit in this problem is vitamin E acetate, a sticky oil substance often added to vaping products. This is especially common in vaping products that contain THC, the primary psychoactive compound in marijuana. The Center for Disease Control says that 84% of the EVALI cases involve cannabis-containing products. As of February 2020, the cases of EVALI have caused 68 deaths in 29 states and the District of Columbia. Those numbers now are far more significant, and virtually all of them are young adults. Teenagers are twice as likely to give wheezing or whistling in their lungs after vaping marijuana compared to smoking cigarettes. As a follower of Jesus, 1 Corinthians 3:16 tells us that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Vaping weed is at least as bad as smoking cigarettes, and both are destructive acts that damage the body and can lead to death. As our society turns away from God and rejects the notion that our bodies are designed creations of God, young people are less concerned about taking care of themselves. Changes in the Earth's magnetic field. Researchers in New Zealand have released a new study of changes in the Earth's magnetic field. In a magnetic reversal, changes in the Earth's magnetic field cause the north and south magnetic poles to switch. Researchers at the University of South Wales have shown that this transition took nearly 800 years to complete, and during that time, the planet would have had no magnetic field. The lack of a magnetic field would have been a major catastrophe. Our magnetic field acts as a shield against high-energy charged particles coming primarily from the sun. Without that shield, there would have been severe environmental threats to life on Earth. The study suggests that tropical rain belts shifted, glaciers stretched across North America, and a severe drought hit Australia. The effects of increased radiation on living things would have had a strong genetic effect. Researchers suggest that humans living during the Earth's magnetic field changes would have had to retreat to caves for shelter from the radiation and the harsh weather conditions caused by the magnetic reversal. Our planet's stability is a part of God's design, and without it, we would not be here. This is John Clayton. I hope that your summer is going well, and God will bless you with unique opportunities to serve Him, and with peace, and with love. God bless you.